Facing Your Fears podcast, where we talk about facing the fears we encounter in education as teachers, students, administrators, and parents while finding our inner confidence to thrive. I'm your host, Amanda Alford, and today we're going to be discussing the fear of failing from a teacher's perspective with my guest, Amanda Cole. Amanda is a 7th grade language arts teacher. Thank you for joining me, Amanda. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself.
Well, thanks for having me on your first podcast. I've been a teacher for 10 years now. We actually got to our starts together. 7 years I taught special education, and then 3 years ago I started teaching the language arts classes for the 7th grade here.
All right. As I said, today we are going to be discussing the fear of failing and what kind of pressure that has on a teacher, because I feel as teachers and educators, just in education in general, we talk about what overwhelms us, we talk about why there's teacher burnouts, and we talk about our successes, but you never really hear in education about our failures. Usually educators, administrators, anyone in the education world or just in society wants to try to keep their failures to themselves, and they don't realize that failing doesn't define them. Failing is a teaching moment. And that's what we want our students to do, and that's what we need to model. So this episode, we are going to talk about what kind of pressures teachers have with the fear of failing. So with my first question, what would you say are some common fears of failing as a teacher in the education system?
Well, I like, first of all, what you said just a minute ago about it shouldn't define us. And I know that a lot of teachers might feel that way sometimes, especially when you have that bad day. But I think some of the common fears, there could be a lot of them, but the ones that I would most focus on would be that fear of being exposed and not having all the answers. I think it's very easy to doubt ourselves sometimes, and especially the new teachers. I know I was in this position 10 years ago. You probably felt the same way when you get into that room and you're wondering, am I qualified to do this? You walk in and there's 20 plus sets of eyes on you, and that can be very intimidating regardless of what age the kids are. But walking in with middle schoolers, that I just felt like they were going to eat me alive on the first day. But you do have that fear of wanting to be liked, wanting to be in control of your classroom, and trying to find that balancing act of being liked by the kids and also being in control and having the respect from the students.
One thing I know that I see, not only in our school, but other schools that I travel to, and I didn't know if you would agree, is that a lot of times teachers would rather struggle by themselves, like in a little island, rather than ask for help, which is hurtful to them because they're not helping themselves. They're not seeking that help. But that's not what we ask our students to do. Mm-hmm. If our students don't know how to do something or if they are struggling, we teach them that they need to ask for help. If they fail at something, they need to ask for help and improve and learn how to do it. But I see teachers who may be failing at something or feel like they're failing at something, instead of asking for help, they almost shy away from help, and they would rather silently struggle than let anyone know, I don't know the answer, I don't know what to do, I have an issue.
Yeah, I think that happens, unfortunately, sometimes. And obviously we don't have all the answers, and I think it's important that we're okay with letting the kids know that we don't know all the answers all the time, and learn together. Turn it into an opportunity to learn with your students and model that behavior of it's all right. Get comfortable with it. And obviously I don't want kids to just get comfortable with failing all the time, but get comfortable with making mistakes and use those as learning opportunities with your students. I'm a big believer in modeling the whole learning process. With failing, we talk about the growth mindset in our classroom and how failing is critical sometimes to the learning process. You have to be able to learn from our mistakes, and that it just makes us better in the long run.
So how have you personally faced this fear of failure? Can you give an example or two to anyone who's out there listening who may be feeling like they are failing and they are silently struggling?
Yeah, that first year of teaching, of course, is it was a huge learning curve. And when I look back on it, I kind of cringe thinking of the mistakes I made then on how I would teach today. And that's just experience, of course, that comes with that, that helps ease some of those fears. But I'd had nothing, no idea about teaching. I got called up by one of my friends that said, hey, there's a special education position open. And she knew my background, that I had worked with students with various special needs before, and that they were my passion. So she told me about this job, and I just thought she was crazy. And that first day, I was very scared. Scared that I did not know what I was doing, what I was doing with the kids, what I was doing with curriculum, if this was the right choice even for my family. I had two very young children that I got to stay at home with prior to that. And all of that was a huge bundle of nerves for me. But I just got comfortable and asked for a lot of help. I had great support from my colleagues at the time. And just every time I didn't know something, I was always willing to ask questions, probably to the point where I was driving my coworkers nuts at the time. But I felt like it was an integral part of learning what I was doing. And it was scary at times to ask for help, especially when I felt like I'd asked the same question 20 times already that week, but it's just part of learning. The second thing I would be when I took the leap into the gen ed classroom and left my special ed position. That was it was a pretty daunting task, because I only had 28 students on my caseload, and then to jump into the general ed classroom where I had like 104, I believe, that first year, that was a huge switch. I had this false confidence, I think, because I had co-taught in many of the language arts classes before, and I thought, this is going to be a piece of cake. But day one comes in August, and that was completely different. I felt like I was back 7 years prior to that with day one again, with all the kids looking at me like, does this lady know what she's talking about? But, you know, you just go with it. And the big thing that I learned through all of my years, especially with special ed, was build the relationships with the kids. Nothing else really matters if you don't have those relationships with the kids. They have to trust you. They have to know that you're their cheerleader. They have to know that they can come and ask questions if they don't know, that it's okay. And once you do that, everything else kind of irons itself out.
You have done this for 10 years. You have switched twice and faced two major fears. And the first fear that you were talking about, as you said, we started the same year, 10 years ago. And I did sort of a similar jump. I went from 2 years in special education to the 2 days before school started, they called and said, we have a science position open and we would like for you to take it. Are you interested? And sort of the same boat you were in. There was no curriculum really set for me. There was no lesson plans. There was nothing that I could really go off of.
Panic mode sets in.
And panic mode does sit in. Even if you've been a teacher before, then you switch over kind of, as you were saying, from special ed into a general ed classroom, which is completely different.
Yes.
And what do you do? And I told my students that first year, this is going to be a learning curve for all of us. You know, seventh grade is new for you. Seventh grade is new for me. And I let my students see me fail. Even now, 10 years later, I would consider us pretty veteran teachers at this point. And my students see me fail every day in the classroom, whether it's me standing up there teaching and falling over my words because I don't speak correct, perfect grammar every time I speak to them, whether it's me making a Google Doc and having a typo. Whichever it is, I let my students see me fail because that's real.
Mm-hmm.
They know that I'm a real person. They know that I'm not perfect. And I try to do my best every day to role model what I'm wanting my students to do. And I think that's important, like you were just saying. You know, if it's okay to let our students fail, we need to let them see us fail every now and then.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, no matter what you do, you're never 100% prepared, because things happen. All teachers know this. Things happen in your classroom. You might have the perfect lesson plan on paper, but somebody might come in, especially in seventh grade, with all of their unstable hormones, I guess, and you never know what mood they're going to come in to. That's the fun part of teaching middle school. But you never know, and so you just kind of have to roll with it, and if you mess up, learn from it. Show the kids that it's okay, and I think it happens all the time. Kids love pointing out our mistakes.
Yes.
I don't know about you, but especially when you're a language arts teacher and you spell something wrong on the board, Lord have mercy, they're going to attack you. Even though they probably spelled it wrong on their own paper, they're very good at pointing it out on the board when you've done something wrong. And it's okay. I just kind of laugh at them and be like, see, I make mistakes too. And I think that's important, that you don't like get all defensive and, you know, get mad at the student for pointing something out. I mean, you could make it into a game, like, who's going to catch Mrs. Cole's mistakes today? And, you know, and it gets the kids more engaged sometimes when they are looking to see stuff like that. I don't know that that's always the right thing to do, but hey, I'll take engagement when I can get it.
And that helps build your confidence as a teacher. It helps build your confidence because the students know, again, that you're real, mm-hmm. that you don't have all the answers all the time. Because nobody has all the answers all the time. The students are going to ask you a question and you don't know the answer to it. And that, it doesn't matter if you're in kindergarten where they're asking, you know, why the sky is blue.
Right.
If you're in seventh grade or if you're in college, they're going to ask you a question. And if you don't know it, you need to just own up and say, I don't know, but let's find out what the answer is.
And that's important, because when you do that, the students become more comfortable. I've seen this in my classroom, and I'm sure you probably have as well. But when they become more comfortable, they start becoming more likely to engage in the classroom discussions. They're not afraid of being wrong at that point, because they've seen you mess up, and it's, they know it's okay. So once they're willing to start engaging more, whether it's just answering a question or in those classroom discussions that we have a lot in our room, it's just a win for everybody. So I think we need to not get so hung up on that fear of being wrong.
So what advice can you share to teachers who may be facing these fears, who may be silently struggling with some fears of failing, or feel like they're failing right now and don't know how to find their way to confidence?
Well, I think, for the newer teachers, I would say experience is the key. Experience is going to be the key to easing some of your fears. That's just natural. You're going to start becoming more comfortable in the classroom, and it'll just start working out. And also the relationships with your students, that's an integral part of making any classroom work effectively. If your kids trust you, and you've got good relationships with them, then, like I said earlier, things will iron themselves out. I guess the last thing I would say would be to don't doubt yourself, even when you have those bad days. We all have those bad days. And I know I've went home before thinking, I totally blew that today. And you just kind of start wondering, like, am I even doing the right thing? Should I even be teaching? I know I've asked myself that sometimes before, like, thinking I should maybe find a different career path at times, especially on those really bad days. But the key to that is reflection, reflecting on what went right, what went wrong, how can you change this for the next time? And the big part that I always try to do is remember your why. Why did you get into education to begin with? And when you can come back to that, because obviously we get into it to help the kids. We get into it because we care about the kids. And when that comes back, none of the rest matters.
And I think that's really good advice, regardless of how long you've been teaching. I know that's what I did as a first-year teacher. Every lesson plan, I would go back and I would reflect and write what went well, mm-hmm. what needs to be changed, And 10 years later, I'm still using the same labs, perhaps doing the same activities, and I'm still jotting down notes just because it worked really well last year with last year's class. This is a different group of kids. Mm-hmm. And so what is working well? What needs to be, you know, kind of tweaked around to be more effective? Because what worked 10 years ago when I first started teaching science is not what works now.
Right.
It's a totally different group of students. We have different technology. They have a different learning style. And so I think that's really great advice that you were giving. So thank you, Amanda, for joining me for my very first podcast, Facing Your Fears.
Thanks for having me.
So, and thank you for listening to Facing Your Fears podcast with me, Amanda Alford. If you like what you're hearing and want to know more, please follow me on Twitter at Alford_science, and please leave me a review. Join us next week when we talk about facing the fear of failing from a student's perspective with Callie Powell. Callie is a senior and also a student athlete, and she's going to share what it's like as she's gone through her entire academic career, K through 12, the fears that she has faced and overcome, and what it was like being a student athlete as well as an academic student. So again, thanks for listening, and follow me on Twitter at Alford_science, and I will see you again next week.